Hi, everyone. Welcome to today's episode of the Professional Book Nerds podcast, sponsored by Overdrive. Emma here, and this is our regular reminder to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can also follow us on social media. We are at Pro Book Nerds on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, although we don't do much on TikTok, so mostly say hi to us on Instagram. I think that's all the spiel. So with that, we're going to kick off this episode. I have a fun group with me today. So I'd like to say hello to Holly, Kristen, Maria, and Jane. Welcome.
Hello.
I know all five of you at once. Four of, I can't do math. Four of you at once. So we have a lot of our regular librarian guests on today, and we're here to talk about book hype, which is a very general topic, but something I feel like I notice a lot, especially this year. And so I wanted to get some professional opinions from librarians and readers and see what everybody thinks. So I'm going to ask you some questions. And then I know we have some books to toss out that we thought were worth the hype, not worth the hype, and things that we will not read on principle because they are so hyped. So for all of you, and this may get confusing because I'm having you all chat at the same time, do you pay much attention to book hype for your personal reading? Holly's shaking her head, but we're on a podcast.
I was like, I see two people shaking their head, and so I just want
to say. Yeah, I don't personally, but you know, I also don't have any social media, so the only resources I'm using really are work resources, which I do build my TBR from, but I usually don't buy into the hype.
Okay. I will say that if it's a book that I haven't really heard about and people start talking about it, really curious about it, and that might pull me in. But if it's a book that I just keep seeing everywhere, I am turned off and I don't want to pick up that book.
Yeah, I'm the same as Kristen, but I do have to admit, when I hear that something has been like optioned for film or movie or like won in like a bidding war, it does kind of pique my interest and I can't help it. I'm always just like, oh, I wonder what the story is there. But then I usually forget about it and move on.
Yeah, I feel like I do that a lot too. I'll pay attention to the hype, but then I forget about it later. And then I'm like, eh, I don't know. I feel like I pay attention to the hype in the genres that I like. And I'm more likely to read a fantasy book that's been hyped versus like any other book that's been hyped. So it's like, I guess I pay attention based on what I already want to read.
Yeah.
But otherwise I don't really pay attention, I feel.
Yeah. I do have to say though, you know, sometimes publishers will be like, you know, this was chosen for Jenna's book club or so-and-so's book club. And there are some of those where I'm like, okay, that's a good endorsement.
I know. I was going to say, yeah, is it Jenna's that you're always like every book I love Jenna's pick, picks. You're like, I'm going to read it.
I know. There's so every single one. Yeah. Yep.
So I think we're in an interesting position because we read for work. We are aware of books for work, but then we also obviously enjoy reading in general for pleasure. Do you think that because we're exposed to so many books and things for work, that does impact our personal reading tastes?
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. I feel like it makes me more resistant to trending titles because I feel like when I'm working with library accounts and I'm looking at their holds list and certain titles have so many holds, it makes me like not want to read the title because I'm just like, it's just, it's too much.
100%. Yeah, I would agree with that. Although I will say that like starting to work here and talk and just like being around so many different types of books, I've definitely changed like my reading habits though. And I think like sometimes I will like read a book that I wouldn't have before I started working here just because I feel like I have a more open mind about what I read. But I don't really know if that has anything to do with the hype though. So I'll stop talking.
I hadn't read a romance book until you gals, until I started working here and started working with all of you. I, so, you know, your hype worked, your personal hype worked on me.
Yeah.
I feel like with a lot of people, it's if you get a personal record from someone that you know and trust, that goes a lot further than like any sort of social media talking about it. I feel like with us, again, we are reading articles about these things, we are hearing from publishers, and then on top of that, we're hearing from each other. So a lot of times for the really big books, I don't have to read it because I've already read about it. I read what like Library Journal has to say. So it kind of becomes redundant where I'm like, no, I feel like I know what happens in that book. So I'm going to skip it because there are a lot out there and I don't have time to read all of them.
Yeah, I think that's true, especially because we hear, I think it's changed the way that I like the timing of when I read certain books, if that makes sense. So like, I think maybe before this was my job, I would be more inclined to read things like on the day they come out or like go get it. Now I think we're a little bit spoiled because we get to read things early in a lot of instances. Or on the flip side of that, if I get something too early, then I feel like I procrastinate and don't want to read it. Like, do you know what I mean? Because it's so hyped and you're like, oof, I've got 10 months to read this huge book. This is so cool. And then I like don't read it.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? Yeah. When I hear about a new title, I request it. And if I get an advanced copy, if I don't start it like right away, then I wait. And once it comes out, I feel like I've missed my opportunity to read it. Like, I'm just like, oh, well, it's out now. So like, what's the point? Which makes no sense.
But like, you have to read it like super early so that you're like in the know ahead of time, or it's like, it's a moot point and then it's out. And so you'll just get around to it when you get around to it.
Exactly right.
That's interesting that a lot of us do that.
Yeah. And basically like, those titles I just put on my like Libby wish list, you know, like for audio or ebook. And then when I need a read, I go to that list and then I get those ones. And usually it's like a couple years later. And there are often times when it's a couple years later and then I'm like, I should have read this 2 years ago. What was I thinking? Why did I wait so long?
But yeah, I think that's true as well. And so Maria, you sort of touched on this already, but I'm curious for the whole group. So will you read books for the hype? Like Maria said, she's more inclined to read them if they're hyped in her preferred genres. Or like Kristen said, do they get so overexposed that you're like, no, I don't need to. I've read enough like media about them. I've seen them everywhere. I don't need to. Or does it depend? That's like 10 questions.
I've been burned by the hype, as I'm sure we'll get to during this episode when I complain about a book or two.
Yes.
So that has turned me off to the, you know, big media hype type books.
Yeah, I'd say sometimes I just get like turned off from, I'm just like James was saying too, you see them all the time when we're in like accounts and they're on the bestseller list forever and ever. And you're just like, I'm just so sick of hearing about this book. There's no way I could just read this, like spend my time reading this book now. Like I'm already sick of it and I never read it. So I don't know. Yep. It's like a weird mind game. I'm sure that like my brain plays on me too, but I'm just like, I don't know. I don't want anything to do with it.
And I also feel like, well, they already have enough success. Like they don't need my readership. So I'll help out an author that might be under the radar, you know, like I'm some benevolent, you know,
some benevolent book god,
reader goddess.
Yeah.
But I think that's true because like, as you all said, like we see these books literally every day for our job. Like we see the titles all the time. If we're working with libraries, like you see them on their sites in Libby, you see them when you're in their digital collections. And so I wonder if that's like also that added layer of exposure. Like we see them 40 hours a week for our profession. So it certainly makes it to where I think we get fatigued maybe quicker than if you're just like scrolling or seeing things out and about.
Yeah.
So blessing and a curse.
Desensitized.
Yeah.
For sure to things. Mm-hmm.
So I want to start by asking folks if they had books that were worth the hype for them, things that were really buzzy, got a lot of like, oh, this is the hottest book of the summer, or like New York Times bestselling, all of those things like Jenna pick, Reese pick, whatever. Which books did you read that were worth the hype for you? I'm going to start with Maria because you're first on my document.
the one, and I don't know if this was, I guess this was very hyped, and I read it after it had started to be hyped, was The House in the Cerulean Sea by T.J. Clune. It was one of those, you know, I read a lot of like dark fantasy or like really intense, like that kind of stuff. And I was like, I don't know about this, like more feel good type thing. And I was like, I'll try it. And I loved it so much, that I ended up, and should make a disclaimer. I do not like to reread books at all. Like I could count on two hands the amount of books I've reread in my entire life. And I read this and then like literally a month later was like, I'm going to listen to it. Like, I just loved it so much. I wanted to ingest it in both formats. But yeah, I just thought that everyone's talking about how it's like, it was emotional and, but still fun and really touching and just like a way to write fantasy and type of like, almost like relationship, like growth fiction, in such a way that it was compelling. And I totally agree. I just finished TJ Klune's second book as well, which I'm also very behind on. And that, as a sophomore, like major novel goes, I know he's written like a bunch of other stuff. But that also lived up to the hype. Cause I was like, there's no way I could love this as much as The House in the Cerulean Sea. And then I'm like crying on my couch. Like just like, oh my God. So anyway, it is such a good book. And I thought it was well hyped.
I've heard so many good things from everyone about that. So I think that's definitely one that will live up to the hype. What about you, Holly?
So mine, I'm going to harken back to a potty episode I did in June with Joe about Pride Picks. So the book that lived up to my own personal hype that I am currently still reading is Camp Damascus by Chuck Tingle. I know Kristen has already finished this one. She and I have a date next week to talk about it when I finally finish it. I'm trying not to plow through it, because I'm known to do that. If I really get hooked on a book, I'll finish it in one night. But you know, I didn't want to do this one in a day. It's not what I expected. You know, I had read the summary and things like that from the publisher before it came out this summer, and sort of had one idea about the way the plot line would go. And that is not at all what Dr. Chuck Tingle has done here. So it's been really exciting to sort of see as we go, not necessarily like timeline changes, but the realizations that the main character is having about what has happened to her, and then discovering how and why it has happened, the changing relationships between her and her parents. I don't want to give too much away about the premise. It's a queer novel, but I don't want to say any specifics about who's doing what in the book, but I can't wait to finish it. This one is definitely. And if any listeners have engaged with Chuck Tingle's other content, it's delightful and it's fun, but maybe could use some editing. Some of those novellas could have used another couple of sets of eyes on them, which is not me disparaging the author. I love him. We need him. But this is a really great effort. Great storytelling, great characters. So I highly recommend this one.
I also really loved that book. And I am just looking at the description of it. So I'm like, okay, things that are safe to say. This is basically about this small town in Montana, very like God-fearing community, as it says in the description. And it houses a conversion camp. And so that is where I will leave things. But it was so good. Kind of like spooky, definitely a scary read.
I feel like this is one of those times where you all talking about how much you like this book put it on my TBR when it would have been like maybe on the fence, right? Like never like a no, I would not read that. But I just have been reading less YA the older I get. And so I was like, well, I don't know. And then Kristen was like, oh my gosh, it's so good. And then Holly's loving it. So now it's more permanently on my TBR. So.
Yep. As Kristen said, I think about personal recommendation and when like we all start talking about it or reading stuff, I'm much more susceptible than if I see like a TikTok about it. Anyone else have books that they think were worth the hype for them?
Yes. I want to talk about Legends and Lattes by Travis Baldry, which was a book that I first came across on TikTok. It was one that I had never heard from because it was independently published. Those books tend to be a little, they're just not talked about as much. So I wasn't seeing it on any lists. I wasn't seeing it covered in, you know, library journal or anything like that. And then I was just very intrigued. This is a cozy fantasy about Viv, who is an orc who decides she's going to stop adventuring up a coffee shop. But she's opening it in a city where no one knows what coffee is. So she has this like having to explain what this new beverage is. And then she's basically just starting off and making a coffee shop where no one gets it. And she makes friends. And it is just a lovely, lovely read that made me feel so good. And the characters are all so perfect. I loved them so much. And the second book is coming out, I think, towards the end of this year.
Yeah, I think it's November. And I think it's a prequel about Viv. Yeah, I'm just going to second this book because it is a delight. It's like a it's like a hug in a book.
Oh, basically. That's the perfect way of putting it. Also, I listened to the audiobook and Travis reads it. And I was like, oh no, sometimes that can go poorly when an author reads their own book. But Travis Baldry is actually an audiobook narrator. So he was incredible. He did voices for every character. And it really made this book even better. So Maria, if you haven't listened to it, I'd say maybe this one's worth a second read and you should listen to it.
No, that's good to know. I forgot that he has narrated other audiobooks, but that's awesome. I love different voices. And this is a type of book for that type of different voice for different characters makes a huge difference, I think.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And I'm going to make us talk about somebody that I know we've all read. And I feel like their hype is only growing, is Emily Henry.
There is no hood like parenthood. When you meet a fellow parent, you just kind of get each other on a whole nother level. Hi, I'm Kanika Chanda Gupta. I'm a former CNN journalist, mom of three, including twins, and host of That's Total Mom Sense, the podcast. I interview changemakers on their life lessons, legacy, and superpower of intuition, AKA their mom sense and dad sense. I've had some pretty amazing parents on my show.
Hey, what's up? I'm Kelly Rowland.
Hi, this is Chelsea Clinton.
It's me, Bobby Brown. Can't wait to share my story.
Episodes release every Thursday. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and on YouTube. Join my tribe at thatstotalmomsense.com and follow me on Instagram at Kanika Chanda Gupta. I'm thrilled to be on this journey with you.
My name is Cindy Burnett, and each week I interview at least two traditionally published authors on my podcast, Thoughts from a Page. We talk spoiler-free about their books, so you can listen whether you have read the book or not, and then we delve into things that you most likely won't hear about anywhere else. The importance of the cover design, why they included various aspects of the story, personal details about both the books and the authors' lives, and so much more. You can find the podcast on every major platform and learn more about it on my website, thoughtsfromapage.com. Thanks so much for checking it out.
Oh,
I feel like all of her books, like the more she has success, the more happy I am. And the more I want her to keep publishing things. So for that, I don't feel like I'm dissuaded, but I don't know if that's just like bias.
if she maintains just, I don't necessarily feel like each book is better and better. I sort of have my order in which I like them.
Yeah.
But you know, when someone you really love that's written one or two or three books that you have a lot of feelings about keeps going, there's always that risk of it falling short of your expectations. And so I'm not nervous about that with her. I think she's personally proven herself to me. So can't wait for her next one next spring.
Yeah, but I would agree with that.
I think that's true as well. Like she has a good track record. So even though like the more successful she gets, the more of her books are like optioned into film and TV and stuff. To me, that doesn't turn me off to what else she has, because everything she's done has been good in its own way. So I do think that there are some authors that stand out when we're talking about hype. Kristen, I know you mentioned this on our notes, and I'm going to make you talk about it quickly before we talk about the opposite. But one of the books you mentioned that you thought was worth the hype is A Dowry of Blood by S.T. Gibson. And I want to talk about this really quickly because it was so good and creepy and weird.
It is so good and creepy and weird. It is basically a retelling of Dracula, but from the point of view of Dracula's first vampire wife. Mm-hmm. So it is this feminist retelling about this woman who falls in love with Dracula. He turns her, and then they go through the centuries together. And she is just enamored with him for the longest time until she is not. And it's also so cool. And it's about him starting relationships with other people and marrying other people. And so it becomes this polyamorous kind of story. And it is just so good. The main character was so interesting. And you have all of these different historical settings. It was fantastic. I saw it all over BookTok and was finally like, you know what? I need to pick this one up. I'm so happy I did. It's the perfect season to be reading this book. So I highly recommend this one. Emma, what were your thoughts on it?
I agree. I thought it was such a like weird and unique premise, because a lot of the obviously Dracula stuff we get is like from his perspective or like the hunter's perspective or whatever. And so this I just thought was so good and creepy to have it be from his first wife's perspective. And I also like how in the book, like time is obviously not an issue. They're just immortal. And so they can just like keep reinventing themselves and live in different, you know, cities and towns through all the different time periods. And so that I also thought was really interesting, where like certain chapters span like 50 years. And then like suddenly we're in Europe doing this other thing, and like the plague is no longer the primary concern. We've moved on to like modern times. So I thought that was really interesting. And then everything sort of told, I think it's like from a diary perspective.
Yeah.
If I remember.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely a good time to pick this book up if you're interested in a hypey book. And I'm pretty sure she's got a few more new things coming out, but I think we'll see hype once those things are like closer. I'm being really helpful as a book person, but I think we're still too far out to see anything of her new stuff. We talked a little bit about books that we really enjoyed were worth the hype. I want us to very kindly talk about books that we did not feel lived up to the hype. And I will caveat by saying that obviously all books are for their like own readers. Everyone will find what they're looking for. And so when we're talking about some of these books, we are going to talk about why they weren't for us or why they sort of fell short of the hype, which I do think is easy to do if something is so oversaturated. It just by the nature of everyone saying it's amazing, it can, as Holly said, not quite live up to that expectation. So let's talk about some books that did not live up to the hype, which I think is better than saying they were garbage. First book that comes to mind for me, this will be controversial, is The Summer I Turned Pretty books. I don't think they live up to the hype.
Go off. I haven't read them.
I haven't read them.
I read them like 10 years ago and I don't remember. So that might be saying something.
I will say I adore Jenny Han. I think for me, I did not read them at the time that they were like set. They came out in the like late 2010s, like 2010. So I did read them after the show had come out because you're like, oh, I should read the book. I love the show. It's so good. For me, it did not translate, but I do think this happens if you see or like consume one medium before the other. So like I saw the show, I very much liked the way the show did it. And then I was like, the book isn't quite the same. So I think that's for me where the struggle came is I wanted the book to be the show and it's not.
Didn't meet those expectations.
It didn't. And also like, it's a little bit unhinged. it like the whole premise is a little bit unhinged. Like she's in love with two brothers and she kind of just goes back and forth through college. And like, there's still like back and forth, back and forth. And so I don't know, to me, it's like, I don't know that I buy that you would be able to go between two brothers for like years.
It kind of reminds me of sometimes what like you and I will talk about, Emma, if we read like maybe a romance that wasn't like a contemporary rom-com that wasn't our favorite. It's like, it's not believable how poor your communication is or how indecisive you're being. Like it's literally just not realistic or believable in any way. So I feel like that kind of has that vibe to it a little bit.
Yeah. And I think also to give it credit, like it is a book about teenagers written for teenagers. And so right. I do admittedly struggle as an adult with some YA books where I know it's realistic for that age group, but it's so unrealistic for me that I'm like, no, this is annoying.
Yeah,
we're skipping it. We could solve this by like a brief conversation. And then we wouldn't have this captured, back and forth.
I think you've captured aging out of reading YA a little bit, Emma. It is definitely, I feel like as I get older, I used to read so much YA. And as I get older, I'm just like, talk to each other. But that's not how it is when you're a teenager. You can't do that. It's so hard.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's a good point. Like, for our age group, I do think some of these teen books that are so hyped, it's maybe just they're not meant for us. What else did people find maybe a little bit disappointing when they were expecting it to be great?
I hate to say this, but I'm going to. Red, White, and Royal Blue did not meet my expectations. Mm-hmm. Again, how many like gay book podcasts have I done with Emma, you and Joe and everything?
Yeah.
I'm really a character person too. And I really didn't like Henry or Alex. I thought Henry was boring. Alex was a brat. They had some friends, like, you know, secondary characters that I think, carried the story a little bit more for me, but yeah, I didn't like either of them. So I didn't really care what they did. The politics were also, I don't know. I mean, she had to make a choice. She has to write things a certain way, but that felt a little weird at points. It wasn't enough chili peppers for me either. And it could have been like 100 pages shorter. So those are just kind of the main points. I've really wanted to like it. I also read One Last Stop and have some of the same thoughts about that.
I was going to mention I DNF'd One Last Stop. I think Jane did too. Didn't we talk about this, Jane?
You know, I finished it, but I just, it never really paid off for me. I wanted to like it so much. Mm-hmm. It just never got there for me.
It felt, I liked Red, White, and Royal Blue. I don't know if I'd like reread it or anything, but I enjoyed it. But it, I felt that the same thing that you were saying, it could have been shorter. That's kind of what I felt with One Last Stop. I was like, I feel like I've been reading this a long time. And I think I just at this point have to be done for myself, you know? So I've DNF'd a couple books that just feel like they're too long for what the plot is and how the relationships are going.
See, and I think that that's a fair critique when something just does not meet your expectations or is not to your taste. Because mm-hmm. I think that's the thing when books are so hyped or they're so oversaturated. I find that a lot of people just say, it's amazing, but then don't go into any specifics.
Yes.
So you're really just going off of like, oh, that person recommended it. It's on this list. It's on this list. And then that's really easy, I think, for it to not be your kind of amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think there's a difference between a book that's amazing because it's highly readable
mm-hmm.
and a book that's amazing because it's life-changing, you know, and not every book has to be life-changing, mm-hmm. but there are some books that it's like, it's amazing because I sat down and read it in one sitting, but it didn't, you know, it didn't resonate with me for the rest of my life. And so there's just different, yeah. and everybody reads for different reasons. And some, we all read for different reasons at different times too. So
I think that's a good point. Now I am going to make us all talk about a book that I think, except I didn't read it because I refused on principle because it was like, no, I can't. And I also hate book clubby type things, but is Ice Planet Barbarians, because this book, we girl, obviously yeah. saw like, we saw it explode on TikTok. We obviously saw the uptick of people wanting it at the libraries. So we like saw it in our day-to-day lives. And then I think it made the rounds of this group of everyone reading Ice Planet Barbarians, even though I have it and I didn't read it. What was everyone's thoughts on that book?
Okay. So I'm going to start. And I have to say, I actually really enjoyed this book. And I remember finishing it and immediately wanting the second book. But then I think I told Holly to read it. Holly read it. And she was like, hey, really problematic stuff in there. And I was like, oh, yes, there sure was. And I had just like, those things happened at the beginning. And those things are sexual assault. And so that's not cool. And as I thought about it some more, I was like, kind of ruins this book for me. As much as I enjoyed the rest of the novel, it's the beginning with the things that are happening are just so problematic and unnecessary that it upon further looking at this, I'm just like, okay, yeah, we're done recommending this book. And I don't know why more people weren't talking about how problematic mm-hmm. it was.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you're fine. Go on.
Oh, I was going to say, I read it as well. And like, overall, it was better than I thought it was going to be. And that's my own like preconceived judgment with, you know, self-published authors or romance that seems like it has a weird premise or whatever. But yeah, the beginning, I was like, for a second, I was like, I don't know if I should continue to read this because that made me really uncomfortable. And the rest of it, like, you said, Kristen, like it wasn't all like that, but it was like, why did it have to start like that?
Yeah.
Like, why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could have just had it as like these women got abducted by aliens, and that would have been enough to yep. probably make the women who are there have all sorts of issues and problems. But
yeah, that's enough trauma.
Yeah, that's enough trauma. I will say I appreciate that. I feel like this book has opened up a lot of readers to the fact that there is a whole different genre of romance out there that is not human and human, which is really fun. There's so mm-hmm. many like human and centaur, human and alien, you know, whatever you feel, it is out there for you. And I think mm-hmm. Ice Planet Barbarians was the tip of the iceberg for some people.
Get it? Ice Planet, iceberg. I will say, yeah, it was the first time I had read a book that was not like, that was like a paranormal romance or like whatever, like a fantasy romance, sci-fi romance that was a romance. And it definitely opened me up to being like, maybe more open. Like do I want to try the Katie Robert with the dragon that has two of a certain appendage? Why, yes, I will read that book. And I probably wouldn't have done that before. And that one was quite enjoyable as well.
Worth the hype?
I'm not going to say that, but if you like that type of book, I think it is enjoyable. Yes. I read the second one in the series. So that's saying something. That one involves a kraken, if anyone's interested.
It's a good thing I muted myself for that whole conversation. I've just been over here cackling. You can probably see me on Zoom just throwing my head back in laughter, remembering reading Ice Planet Barbarians and the discussions we had about it.
And I think what's interesting about that book as well is, like, I saw it all over social media. I think, like Kristen said, where people realized that these kinds of books existed and they, like, had not previously even explored that there's, like, there are a lot of different tropes and things within the romance genre, because I didn't hear anything about it other than, like, it's spicy and it has aliens. And so obviously, like, that really doesn't set the bar any which way. And then I think can either go how I expect it to go or go in a direction that I'm not super keen on. But he did pull up its Goodreads and I'm cackling at some of the reviews. Okay. Are there any books that y'all will not read on principle just because you've seen them too many times? Because I think this is funny, and I know that there's one title that we're all going to be like, no, I can't. We saw it on too many lists. It was just too big at the library. I refuse to read it ever just for my own stubbornness. And so yeah. I'm going to make us talk about some of those ones.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I know I've said this since, like, it came out, but I refuse to read Where the Crawdads Sing. I just won't read it. I don't want to see the cover. I don't want to have anything to do with it.
Over it.
Yeah. Same.
I read it before it was published. I had, like, an arc of it. Gosh, back in what, like, 2017, 2018, I don't even know anymore. Was really excited about it. And then as soon as I finished reading it, I couldn't even remember any of the characters. I couldn't remember anything that happened. The stakes were very low, I felt. The character was weird. There were a lot of contradictory things, I thought. So since then, anyone who has brought it up, I have given my thumbs down recommendation.
I think an interesting thing with it too, like, hearing you say that, Holly, is that, like, so many people read it because it was so hyped. And I know, even just from people I know who have been like, have you read this or whatever? And they, like, confess. I've had at least half of my friends who have read it are like, I have to tell you, like, I didn't really enjoy it. And they almost feel, like, guilty about not enjoying it because it was such a best-selling book. It's like, that's cool. Just because it's a best-selling book doesn't mean you have to like it because you decided to read it. So that one, I feel like, especially went either way for people. And it was interesting to see people feel almost, like, apologetic for not liking it. I mean, I have more to say about that as far as, like, me hyping up a book that nobody likes. But it's like, no offense taken, man. It's cool.
It's funny how sometimes, like, reading a certain book becomes kind of like social currency. How if you haven't read it, everybody's like, well, you have to. And it's like, mm-hmm. It's almost like it doesn't matter if you like it. You need to know what it is and be aware of it. Like The Help was kind of like that back in the day. And there have just been kind of books like that where it's not even really about the contents of the book. It's just that you have to be in that cultural moment and you have to read it, like Da Vinci Code and, you know, things like that. Like, it's just, and it's interesting because you get peer pressured into it. And then you're like, I don't even like this. Why am I doing this?
That's a good point.
That is such a good point. Like, you just need to be in the know, and it doesn't really matter what your thoughts were on the book. It's just so that you're not left out of, like,
yeah. The, and I feel like women often get pressured into this. This is like a cultural thing, weirdly.
I think that's true. That's so interesting, though, and that could, like, be a whole other thing to talk about. And I'm going to put y'all on the spot. So if we need a minute to compose, I'll just cut out silence. I'm going to put you on the spot and ask if there are any books that you're really excited to read the rest of this year, like anything that's been buzzy on your radar that you're like super looking forward to coming out.
I love this question. We were just in a Simon & Schuster title presentation yesterday. I think most or all of us, and they were talking about a book by Melissa Broder, who wrote The Pisces and another novel since then that I didn't read, but I did read The Pisces. I was very excited about that one too before it came out, and I wound up really not enjoying it. It was very off-putting. But her new one coming out, Death Valley, is a novel, but it seemed sort of memoir-y a little bit. And you guys know that's my favorite genre. So I think I'm going to give it a try. That one comes out in October this fall. So, you know, I Crawdads was, funnily enough, the book that burned me, where I won't finish a book now. If it's been hyped and I start reading it and I don't like it, I won't waste my time. But I'm going to give Melissa Broder another chance and see if Death Valley lives up to the hype, because it's already getting a lot of really good reviews.
I am going to say one of my favorite authors, Rachel Harrison, has a new book coming out called Black Sheep. And Rachel Harrison is such a fantastic writer. I cannot wait for this book. It has kind of like culty, like family, weird things happening in a small town, which is all things that I love in a book. I cannot wait for this one because, again, Rachel Harrison is a must-buy author for me. And I'm so excited. I think this book sounds so good.
I'm glad you mentioned that one. Yay. Shout out, Rachel. If you're a Rachel Harrison fan, you will have hopefully already listened to our interview with her and Clay McLeod Chapman when this episode comes out. So yay, Black Sheep. Kristen, remind me to bring you my copy because I have two.
Please, please.
Yeah. All right. What else is everyone looking forward to?
Okay. So this is, again, it's hyped up in the genre that I read, but there is a new installment of the Murderbot Diaries coming out in November by Martha Wells. And I just like, can't tell you what an enjoyable time it has been listening through all of the Murderbot Diaries in the past. I think I probably read the first one 2 years ago. Every installment is, you know, you're like, okay, how much can they do with this Murderbot character and his group of pseudo friends, right? But she just keeps coming up with like great scenarios, like the sci-fi, like kind of politicky adventure, but make it fun with sassy characters, but also emotional depth. It's like everything that you could have wanted. I can't believe I almost cried because like I thought like a research transport that has like sentient power was like dead, quote unquote, you know, like that kind of stuff. That's like a spoiler from like book two or three. So don't come at me. I'm very excited for this installment. Comes out soon. The audiobook is read by Kevin R. Free, and I just think he does the absolute best job. So I am hyping this up in my mind. It's usually hyped up a lot by sci-fi readers, but I'm really, really pumped to listen to it for sure.
I will say.
I'm sorry. It's called System Collapse. I didn't say the title. I realized. Sorry, Kristen.
No, I was just going to say that I read All Systems Red, which is the first book in this. I listened to it because Maria had hyped it up so much, and it was 100% worth the hype. I love Murderbot. He is such a just like comedic and like interesting character. It's so much fun.
Yeah, and it's also like a low commitment, high reward because most of the books are short. Like, I don't know, the audiobook's probably 4 hours. usually, except for like I think I got through a full length novel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's also like, yay, I'm so productive. I finished an entire book today, you know, like that sort of thing. It's kind of fun.
I love that. And Jane, is there anything you're super excited to read this fall?
Yes, I have a couple. First of all, Aparna Nancherla has a book coming out called Unreliable Narrator, Me, Myself, and Imposter Syndrome. She's a comedian. She's been on a bunch of shows and written for a bunch of stuff. And I just find her so hilarious. I cannot wait for this one. I wanted to get an arc of it, but I want to listen to it on audio. So I've been waiting. And then in the same vein, actually, is another nonfiction adult pick, Catelyn Moran's new book, What About Men? Everything that Catelyn puts out, I just devour. I love her. I think she's wonderful. She's British, and she writes about just modern society and feminism. And her insight is just, it's spot on. I love it. And usually she narrates the books and has the most delightful accent. So I'm just looking forward to both of those, but I'm waiting until they come out on audio. So I am going to get them when they're live.
Nice.
Yay. So I feel like we rounded this out nicely with books we are excited for, books that we are hyping, or we've succumbed a little bit to the hype. I'm going to toss out two books that don't really need mention that are coming out this fall that I'm excited about, only because I have them sitting here. So the first one is Cassandra Clare's Swordcatcher. I am intrigued by this, you know, new adult fantasy series. Mm-hmm. And then similarly, I'm looking forward to reading Throne of the Fallen by Carrie Maniscalco. I don't know if that's how you say her name, and I fail to pronounce it every time. But she has, this is her adult debut in a new romantic fantasy series. So she wrote the Kingdom of the Wicked books and so on. So I'm very much looking forward to some new adult fantasy series this fall.
And I just realized, sorry. Oh my gosh, you were probably wrapping up, but I'm just going to keep talking. I was just realized, I don't know. I can't believe I didn't like say this, but I'm currently reading Fourth Wing, which is an extremely hyped book. Yeah. And so I am enjoying it thoroughly. Did I go into the expectation I was literally going to do nothing else? Like someone was going to literally have to be like, Maria, you probably need to like use the restroom, like stop reading this book. But it's not at that level for me, but it is really great. So I've been enjoying that. I think I hyped it up even more in my head than the actual hype, but I'm enjoying it very much. And I probably only have about, I don't know, 100 pages left. So that's been a delightful one that have not gotten sick of seeing or reading. So.
And that I think was so unexpected that it literally was sold out to the point where you could not find a copy of that book.
It exploded.
Mm-hmm. So crazy. I am really looking forward to the second book. I'm actually quite excited that we don't have to wait that long.
I know. It's like comes out in November, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, this is great timing for me too. I'll finish it in a little bit. I won't forget every single thing that's happened by reading like 10 books in between.
Yeah. So sometimes maybe where the hype is to our benefit, because then we get the next book sooner. Like we're getting two books in the same year.
True.
Oh, I think so. With that, I want to say thank you for coming to chat about book hype. I hope people enjoy this sort of different style of podcast episode where we just generally chat about bookish-y things and throw out some recommendations and then maybe some non-recommendations. Thank you, Maria, Jane, Holly, and Kristen for coming to chat on Pro Book Nerds.
Thanks for having us.
Happy reading.
Thanks, Emma.
Readers can sample and borrow the titles mentioned in today's episode on overdrive.com, and our library friends can purchase these titles in Marketplace. Professional Book Nerds is proud to be an Evergreen Podcast signature program. To learn about other Evergreen podcasts, visit evergreenpodcasts.com. Our podcast is produced, recorded, and edited by Emma Dwyer and Joe Skelly, and presented by Overdrive. To learn more, visit professionalbooknerds.com.
Now you can dominate the trail like never before. The all-new Toyota Tacoma is here. Lean in to its awesome power and legendary capabilities. Stand out with its aggressive look. Push for more, whether you choose the 8-speed automatic or 6-speed manual. All-new Tacomas are available now at your Toyota dealer. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.